All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and on the line is Jeff Stein of Stein Golf Design. Jeff, thank you for joining me this morning.
Anthony, thanks so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
Absolutely. Let's start with you. You know, you're relatively new in this industry, I guess you could say, considering. But, you know, give us a little background to your history and how you got started in this on this side of the industry.
Well, sure. I mean, you could definitely say I'm a little bit new, considering all the great architects that I've worked with over the last 10 years.
Yeah.
I started in golf as a caddy in high school. I was a Westchester County caddy scholar in high school and caddied all through college, and saw some great golf courses over the years, spending a lot of time on at the Bandon Dunes Golf Resort. And even New Zealand, I worked in Cape Kidnappers Golf Resort as a caddy. But mm-hmm. all along, I have been trying to build experience in golf design, and started as a intern with Renaissance Golf Design for the very well-known architect Tom Doak, and been just building experience ever since.
So you played in high school. You're, as you said, a caddy scholarship fund winner. And at what point did the, you know, did you shift from maybe wanting to play to design?
Well, I think, you know, I never had any inkling or desire to play professional golf. I just really mm-hmm. enjoy the competition and the camaraderie of team play that you get in high school and college, but, you know, even did my own individual events. But really the desire to get into design started from pretty early on. I was always curious about, you know, different golf courses, and, you know, would always be asking my parents to take me somewhere new, or, you know, when I was old enough to drive, I mean, I've played just about every public golf course in the Met area, I think, you know. I've even, you know, slept in the back of my car to play Bethpage Black. You know,
yeah.
Like, it's a very, I think it's a rite of passage for many Met area golfers.
Sure.
Who want to challenge themselves. And, you know, when I was in college, I just made the decision that I was going to start interviewing with golf architects and figuring out the best way to get into the design business. And I went out on a limb and went out to Traverse City, Michigan, where Tom Doak has his home office, and basically just went out there for a handshake and an introduction, and you know, just stayed politely annoying enough to get his attention. And in 2009, they offered me a internship position at the old McDonald Golf Links at the Bandon Dunes Golf Resort.
Mm-hmm.
And that was my first job, you could say, in design, or working alongside a construction team, an active construction site. They actually hired me as a maintenance crew worker, and, you know, they would only let me work on the clock for 38 hours a week. After that was up to me. So, and I took every opportunity. I mean, these guys work 65, 70 hours a week sometimes, and, you know, I just wanted to be seen and be helpful. And, you know, I would always be walking around with a rake and a shovel and trying to do just that.
Well, I think Tom would have appreciated your initiative to go out there and see him, considering how he got it started by writing all the different architects of fame. You know, obviously a lot of people know that story and how he would write letters to people and how he got his start. I would think he would have appreciated that kind of initiative that you took to go out and see him.
I think he did, and I may have stood out as a candidate because I was an economics and business major in college,
mm-hmm.
With kind of an artistic bent to me. You know, the portfolio that I sent him along with my, you know, application was a bunch of my photography and sculpture work that I had done in college, and so I've always had that, you know, really creative side to me. And of course, you know, taking that initiative made me stand out.
What was the interview like when you went for the handshake? What was your impressions of him? What did you take away from that, just from that initial meeting and initial encounter with him?
I'd say I was a little intimidated, a little bit in awe. He's a very bright guy. She's just an encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to golf architecture and even baseball statistics. So it's kind of side story, but
right.
He was very personable. And I also met his draftsman, Don Plachik, who's also an extremely talented guy. And, prior to meeting Tom, I went to High Point, which was his first design in Traverse City when he was in his mid-20s. He did a lot of shaping on that job on his own.
Yep.
And I thought it was kind of a prerequisite, or it could give me some background questions to ask him. And, you know, it was really just an introduction, so I just needed something to talk to him about,
right,
other than, you know, hey, what did you think of the old course, or what's your favorite golf course, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know, I really wanted to connect with him on that personal level so he could kind of maybe put himself back in my shoes where I was standing in that interview. And because he built that golf course with this guy, Tom Mead, back in, I guess it was the late 90s or maybe early 2000s when
yep.
he was, you know, just a young architect himself. He was really just a writer at that time. So it was a great experience, and he even sent me up to Crystal Downs after the interview to drive up there by myself and check out the golf course. And I mean, that really blew me away. At that time was 2004, 2005. 2008, and I had never seen a golf course like Crystal Downs before. It's an Alistair McKenzie design in northern Michigan, and it has just got some of the most wild greens and topography and bunkers you have ever. It's really one of the best golf courses in the world, and I've traveled to five different continents, Australia. I've played golf in Africa. I've played golf in South America, all over the United States, and I think Crystal Downs it's on my top five.
I thought it was pretty interesting that you decided when you sent him your portfolio that you sent him sculptures, which I thought was a pretty unique way of, like you said, to make yourself stand out a little bit, even though you're a business and economics major. But you decided to send him some artwork, which is pretty cool and probably a little out of the norm there.
I would say so. You know, I wanted to differentiate myself. I knew going in that he would be getting applications from landscape architecture majors and turf people and that kind of thing. So, and those are all very valuable skills and things that I continue to educate myself with as I move forward in my career. But in terms of the sculpture, I mean, what you do as, you know, from the, say, the bottom rung is, you know, you're operating a rake and a shovel. You're doing sculpture. You're shaping the land in micro ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as I've progressed in my career, I've gotten to do those, call them earthworks and earth sculpture with larger equipment, you know. 700 John Deere tractors and large excavators. And I really look at it that way, that it is an art form. And you know, the tagline for my business is, you know, that I specialize in handcrafted golf design. You know, it's design, build, and finish. I really put my hands on the work and look after all those details that you know, get the best quality product that you can get.
It's sort of you have an interesting background. You would think one who sets out to be a business and economics major doesn't necessarily, you know, it's sort of like that left brain, right brain kind of thing. You seem to have cultivated equally both, considering you went for a major, but you had this sort of, you've also nurtured this artistic side. It's a little bit different than you would normally think for someone who is sort of a quote-unquote, you know, business and economics major.
Well, my father really instilled in me the importance of understanding, you know, the business side of things. I mean, you know, golf architects are running a business. They're small businesses, but you often have to take care of, you know, accounting and marketing and media and design, you know, all these things. Understanding the greater market, what's happening in the golf world, are renovations on the rise? You know, should you be going for new construction work or public RFPs? So there's an understanding that is very necessary to be successful in this business, as well as having those creative abilities. And I think that is what I bring to the table as an aspiring architect. And I'm really glad in hindsight that my father pushed me into, you know, that area of study, all the while I still followed my passions and my creativity and kept cultivating that as well from a very, very personal place.
Absolutely. Our guest is Jeff Stein of Stein Golf Design. We're going to get into his short but absolutely stellar career. And in 1 minute, we're going to take a short break. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Founded in the early 1990s, Tri-State Turfgrass Research Foundation exists to improve golf course conditions throughout the tri-state area, positively impacting millions of golfers each year. The foundation identifies key turfgrass problems, solicits donations, and works with university professors to solve these problems through integrated pest management. Since its inception, Tri-State has raised $1.1 million for turfgrass research. We would like to thank the Long Island Golf Course Superintendents Association for their continued support. If you would like to make a donation, visit tristateturf.org. Once again, that's tristateturf.org.
Owning the latest and greatest golf equipment makes no difference if it's not fit perfectly for your game. At Mizuno, we create irons and woods for all skill-level golfers, from our MP18 family, featuring three different models designed for the better player, to our JPX family, featuring three different models designed to give you distance and forgiveness. We have a model for everybody. Visit Pete's Golf Shop and get custom fit for a set of Mizunos today.
All right, and we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. I'm Anthony, and on the line is Jeff Stein of Stein Golf Design. Jeff, you know, like you said, you've only been in the business 10 years, but when you go through your history of people you've worked with and the kinds of golf courses you've worked with Kyle Franz, Kyle Phillips, Hans, Urbina, DeVries, Doak, Core, Crenshaw, Arnold Palmer. And then when you go through, you know, just that list and then the types of golf courses, you know, your short career is, if I might say, a little bit of an embarrassment of riches, considering who you've worked with and the types of golf courses you've worked on. I've mentioned the architects, but Mid Pines, California Club, Ohoopee, Quaker Ridge, Rockaway, Rockville Links, Paramount, Tamarack, Sunningdale, Seawinoy, Garden City, Bandon, Old MacDonald. I mean, what a wide variety of architects, what a wide variety of golf courses, and, you know, golden age architecture and newer architecture, up and coming architecture, just an amazing span of experience you've gotten in the past 10 years.
Thank you so much, and it's very flattering for you to say that. And I've always made a point to try and work for the best people on the most interesting projects. And sometimes you get hooked in with an architect for a few projects in a row for a couple of years, and you know, they make no promises in this business. So I'm always looking for the net. You always have to be looking for the next thing. You have to be an entrepreneur. And, I've learned a little bit of something from everyone. And even more than that, I've been willing to travel and go the extra length to get those experiences. You know, you mentioned working with Arnold Palmer. My first job with Arnold Palmer was in Uruguay in 2012, very early on in my career.
I had really just started operating excavators at that time, and they let me go down to Uruguay, which is on the same latitude as New York, just on the southern hemisphere, and they let me go out and shape 9 holes worth of bunkers all by myself, and you know, come back, and the architect I was working with at Arnold Palmer was Thad Layton, and he came down and he worked with me, and we edited the stuff and made improvements, and but that was just such a great experience to, you know, work in the southern hemisphere, different climate, turf conditions, and on a brand new design. And you know, even going to New Zealand and Australia and studying all the golf courses over there, and I filled my passport at the age of 26. I actually have filled 1.5 passports, and I'm 33 right now.
Wow.
So you know, I'm not afraid to travel to get those experiences, you know, domestically and abroad. Last summer, I worked for RTJ in Italy, and I did an equally important and fun project. I redesigned an 18-hole golf course. The bunker scheme was completely redone. Working with RTJ, they just gave me kind of a lot of creative freedom to just make it better. And it was a golf course built in boom times and in the early 2000s, and they've got new ownership now and new directives. So we're part of making a change for the better there. And that was a lot of fun working in Italy. I have no complaints.
You mentioned working with Arnold Palmer in Uruguay and in 2011. How unusual was it for someone as young as you to be given such artistic freedom to just go out and rework bunkers?
Well, I had just come off of working with Bill Corr and Ben Crenshaw at the Bannon Preserve. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a very high profile project in the golf world at that time.
Sure.
And the shaper there was Dave Zinkand, and they had actually contacted Dave first, and he's a much more established guy, very talented, and he was too busy with Corr Crenshaw, and that's how the business works. I got an awesome recommendation from Dave, and I'm so thankful. I still keep in touch with him, and he's the guy who gave me the recommendation, and Dave said that, you know, that I could do the job, and I went out and I proved myself. So it's, you know, at some point you gotta take a risk.
Sure.
Whether you're, you know, hiring a shaper or you're a new shaper like myself, because I had never done anything like that before. But of course you say, oh, for sure, I can do it. You're not going to turn down that opportunity.
Of course.
And it, you know, the rest is history. It's really worked out. You know, those projects, you know, initially working with Tom Doak, that's just a springboard. And, you know, I went to work with Urbina after that in New York at Paramount as a Tillinghast restoration.
Sure.
And we have since gone on to restore Rockville Links, which is a really funky Devereaux Emmett golf course in Rockville Center.
Yep. We just had Luke Knutson on recently, so
I was just out there.
So it's I love that little golf course.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess the story is the if you work with the right people and you do a good job, the work will continue to come, and the experiences kind of pile up in really great and memorable ways.
At what point, what would you say is, you know, where are you now as a golf company? In what ways are you growing? What's on the horizon for you? What would you say where you are in your career path at this point?
Well, yeah, that's a great question. At this point, I've started to get more of these consulting positions, broader, you know, global view of projects, and not just focused only on bunker detail. For example, you know, the job in Italy, I was project managing and shaping from day to day, working with the, they had an Italian contractor and an Irish contractor, and I was representing the design company on that job. So it was, and you know, those two cultures aren't, you know, they're not, famous for nothing.
Right.
You know, they were very difficult. It was like cats and dogs working with these guys.
Yeah.
So those are the types of, you know, responsibilities I'm growing into on that particular project. On my own here in the metropolitan area, I'm based in Port Chester, New York, and I often get the opportunity to look at a lot of these classic Golden Age golf courses, and I'm looking at a design proposal right now for a Seth Rayner Charles Banks golf course in the area, mm-hmm. and I hope we can make an announcement soon about that. So I've got some exciting work coming in the future for sure, and just hope to get more and more opportunities with my own projects in the future, as well as collaborating with guys like Kyle Franz and Riley Johns, another guy I worked with. I met through Jim Urbina, and he's doing some great work at Winter Park 9 down in Orlando, and mm-hmm. he's building a short course up in Forest Dunes right now,
yep.
In Michigan. So, you know, I think the way the golf world is working is that we've got a lot of individual craftsmen, young guys coming up in the business who are going to end up either, you know, collaborating with one another or competing, a little bit of both. It's a very competitive business, and I think the more that we all work together and help each other out, kind of traveling band of you know, guys and craftsmen, like I said, the better we're all going to do.
Do you consider yourself still more of a builder than more of an architect, or you know, are you a builder in transition? How would you define where you are personally in your craft?
Oh, I'm always careful to use the term architect, because I think that connotes someone, you know, with landscape architecture,
right?
Bachelor's or master's degree. I consider myself a design and build, person.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
in the business.
Yep.
And my broad view of the golf world in general. You know, I've seen great golf courses in Scotland and Ireland, Africa, South America, New Zealand, all over the metro area. So all these are banked in my memory. And with my artistic abilities, I just know when something looks right, you know, and I know how to build it.
Sure. So
those two abilities right there allow me to bring a very special skill set to any job as a design build, golf construction company.
My guest is Jeff Stein of Stein Golf Design. Jeff, we only have a short time, but I'd be curious if I mentioned, put you on the spot a little bit here, but if I give me a word to describe, if I give you a name, some of the people you've worked with, give me a word to describe that particular person. Gil Hands.
Professional.
Urbina.
Funny.
Core and Crenshaw. Can you separate the two? I don't know if you do, right? I know they're...
Well, I would also... I'm trying to find a different word, but I would also say professional, but they're those two guys are just so kind. Kindness, I would say.
Kyle Phillips.
Global.
Jeff Stein.
Aspiring.
Nice. Well, Jeff, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on this program. I look forward to hearing more from you in the Met area and across, well, the world. You've already been, but more from you as you take on more responsibilities and grow your business. And I hope you'll visit with us on a regular basis as you meet some of your more aspiring goals.
Anthony, thank you so much for having me on your show. I look forward to the next time we talk.
Absolutely. All right. That was Jeff Stein from Stein Golf Design. That's it for this week, folks. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you always. It's a pleasure to have your company. Make sure you go see your local golf professional and visit Pete's Golf if you're ready for a new set of clubs. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.